Well, just a few days ago, we heard Our Lady's beautiful Magnificat, her hymn of praise to God, and today we hear the Canticle of Zechariah called the Benedictus, which means the blessing. And very similar to Our Lady's Magnificat, this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and uttered this prophecy. This prophecy is really twofold. The first part looks back in history, to salvation history and God's mercy upon the chosen people of Israel. But then the second half looks to the future, looks to St. John the Baptist and how he would be the precursor for the Lord. This beautiful canticle of Zechariah is also found in the Liturgy of the Hours. Our Lady's Magnificat, we say in evening prayer. The Benedictus, we pray every morning in morning prayer. Again, tens of millions of people read this beautiful prayer every single day. And in fact, the last part of the prayer as well is found in the closing prayer, the concluding prayer of the Legion of Mary, which is also prayed by all the auxiliary members, about 15 million auxiliary members, say this as well. So this is such a beautiful prayer. So let's look at it for a few moments. Notice it was spoken just after the birth of John the Baptist. It says John had been born, now he was going to be circumcised, and he was going to be named. It says the people wanted to name him after his father Zechariah. And Elizabeth said, no, he shall be called John. They said, no, none of your relatives has that name. So remember, this time Zechariah was still deaf and mute. And so they asked him, what should he be called? And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. This is where we get the word Benedictus from, because his prayer starts out, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Now remember, he had not been able to speak for over 9 months. So this was his chance. I imagine that all this time in prayer and contemplation, he'd been thinking about God's plan for the salvation of the chosen people, that he would send his Messiah and that his son was going to be the precursor for the Lord. So again, he had not spoken for 9 months, so he had plenty of time to have the Holy Spirit germinate this prayer within his heart and soul. And again, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and utters this prophecy, blessing God, that God has visited his people. God is Emmanuel. He is one with us. He has become one of us. He has redeemed his people. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about the redemption of the world by the Son of God coming down to visit his people. And he has raised the horn of salvation for us. The horn of salvation, the trumpet was always blown during the Jubilee year to acknowledge a year of Jubilee. That's how the year began. In fact, the word Jubilee comes from the word meaning the horn or the trumpet that makes that sound of joy. So he has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that the Messiah would come from the line of David. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, all the prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah, that we'd be saved from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Notice the theme of mercy in this canticle as well as Our Lady's Magnificat. That's always the theme in the Old Testament. God created us, we sinned, and instead of strict justice, thanks be to God, he is merciful. He has compassion. He forgives. He keeps faithful to his end of the covenant, even though the chosen people and every person falls short of that. To perform mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, that God remembers his covenant. He always fulfills his end of the promise and goes far and beyond that. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. So God is faithful to his end of the bargain, to his oath to Abraham, that we be delivered from the hands of our enemies and to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. So that's the first part of the Benedictus, looking back at salvation history. Yes, God's people were unfaithful, but God was always faithful to His part of the bargain, His oath, His covenant, and God shows mercy by now sending the Redeemer who will be born of the house of Jacob. And then in the conclusion of this, the second part, He now turns to His son John, who's only 8 days old. He has just been named, He's just been circumcised, and He says, "And you, child, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare His way." Notice He calls Jesus Lord, and He calls Him the Most High. And so this insight of the Holy Spirit that Zechariah is revealing reveals the divinity of Christ. You'll go before the Lord to prepare His way. And He says He'll do this in two ways: to give knowledge of salvation to His people, and the forgiveness of their sins. So that is the role of a priest and a prophet: to teach salvation, to give knowledge, preaching, and then to bring about the forgiveness of sins. Again, that's what the priest does. He preaches, but he also administers the sacraments, the forgiveness of sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, again, the theme of mercy, the day shall dawn upon us. So Christ, the light of the world, is coming into this world to give light to those who sit in darkness. Most likely this refers to the limbo of the fathers, Adam and Eve and Moses and Noah and Joseph and the holy innocent children and all those who had died, who sat in darkness in the limbo of the fathers, waiting for the coming of the Messiah to open the gates of heaven. All the Old Testament prophets, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all in the limbo of the fathers. They were not in heaven. They had to wait till the light of the world came into this world to open the gates of heaven. So the Savior will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Jesus' coming will give joy to those who are dead, waiting for to be able to enter heaven, but also for us, His followers, to guide us into the way of peace.